Hello and welcome. I'm Father Kyle Schnupel. I'm pastor of two parishes here on the northwest side of Cincinnati, and this weekend recording my homily for the first Sunday of Lent. I'll be preaching the weekend masses at one of the two parishes where I pastor, St. John Newman. The readings, first reading is the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that's where I take a lot of this homily from. My notes from my homily are from that reading. Something I picked up from a scripture professor in the seminary, and I hope it's enjoyable. I had a lot of fun with it. Ask a lot of questions, so it'll be more interactive live, but thought it would be a good homily to record here as well. And so with that, I'll get started. First off, a question from our first reading to see if you were paying attention. How many trees did the Lord God plant by name in the Garden of Eden? How many think one? How many think two? The latter are correct. There are two trees in the middle of the Garden of Eden. The first is the tree of life, and the second is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When Adam and Eve were planted in the Garden of Eden, when they were settled in the Garden of Eden, I should say, they were free to eat from the tree of life, but they were prevented from eating from the tree of knowledge, particularly because God did not want them to have knowledge of evil. Because in the Garden of Eden, there are three gifts that God gave to humanity that we lost. The first, infused knowledge. Second, freedom from concupiscence. And there was an immortality in the Garden of Eden. We didn't age. We stayed as we were. Adam and Eve stayed as they were until they fell. All three of those gifts, though, were lost when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When they ate, the serpent was right, kind of. They are doomed to die. They won't die right now, but because they have a knowledge of evil, and death is an evil, death is something that is a result of, not part of God's original plan, as a result of sin, they are now doomed to die. And so after that event, after their fall, they have to work. We have to work for our food instead of the land freely giving of her produce. There is now a discord between husband and wife. The concupiscence has entered into the world. We look at lust, at one another with lust. And we are eventually doomed to die. The serpent pulls the standard trick. It's not an outright lie. It's a partial one. Half-truths are like half-bricks. You can throw them farther. Adam and Eve, after the fall, were escorted out of the garden because they can no longer eat from the tree of life. But the question that becomes pertinent is, what happened to that tree? What happened to the tree of life? Is it destroyed? No. At the very end of the chapter, at the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, the Lord God stations a cherubim who has, quote, a fiery revolving sword, a flame of fire spinning. And he's stationed at the entrance of the Garden of Eden, and it's, quote, his job is to guard the way to the tree of life. And what I'd like to introduce for you today is that the whole of the rest of the Bible, the rest of all everything else that comes from Genesis 3 to the very end of the book of Revelation, is about that. It's about how do we get back to the tree of life. In the genealogy that exists from Adam down to Abraham, there's this character called Enoch. He walks with God. Where did we walk with God? In the garden. He disappears. The Lord God takes him after a life of 365 years. He walks with God. So that's a goal. So closely was he united with the Lord God in this life, he's walking with him again. And so the goal now in our vision is to eat freely again from the tree of life as Adam and Eve did. How do we get there? How do we get back to the tree of life? Where is the tree of life? St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, which is presented as our second reading for today, gives us an insight into this process. He says, through one man, sin entered into the world, and through sin, death. He knows it. Yet the gift of Jesus Christ is the gift of salvation. Through Jesus, redemption, justification, restoration, enter into the world. His obedience undoes the disobedience of Adam. Where Adam's action led to brokenness, the action of Jesus leads to unity, to wholeness. And where does that action, where does Jesus complete that action? Where does that restoration of God and man, the restoration of relationship between God and humanity, where does that happen? It's where we're destined to end the journey, end of our journey of Lent, at the cross. The cross becomes the new tree of life. The cross, which was meant to be a sign of torture and shame, becomes the new sign of life, new life for those who are baptized into the very death of Jesus. When we are baptized, that's where we go. The cross is the doorway between earth and heaven. It is by staring down the temptations that face us every day, as Jesus did in our gospel passage this morning. It is by boldly embracing the cross that Jesus gives us that we find life, and we find life to its fullness. And lo and behold, what do we find once we find that life? Once we find the glory of heaven, once we achieve through God's grace being brought into the kingdom of heaven, and we turn to the end of the book, the big book, the good book, shall we? Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter of the Bible. It's a vision of the new city of Jerusalem, not an earthly one, but a heavenly city of Jerusalem. And lo and behold, what do we find in the center of that city but a tree? Verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, reads this. Then the angel showed me the river of life-giving water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of its street. On either side of the river grew the tree of life that produces fruit 12 times a year, once each month. The leaves of the trees serve as medicine for the nations. In Christ Jesus, in his victory on the cross, in his defeat of sin and death, and in our baptism into that very defeat, we are brought about triumph. In us, Jesus brings about triumph in us. Then again, through him are we able to eat again freely from the tree of life, as Adam and Eve were once able to do, but now no longer in an earthly paradise as the Garden of Eden, but a heavenly one. The new city of Jerusalem, built in Christ Jesus. This is why do we do what we do here? Why do we do what we do when we come to Mass? So that eventually what we receive here under the appearance of bread and wine, although we know it's truly the body and blood of Jesus, that when we go to heaven, and that through that reception, we can go to heaven because of Jesus bringing us. And once we are there, we are brought about and we are nourished by the new tree of life, Jesus Christ. Let us freely, as we gather today and as we journey through Lent, let us strip away everything that keeps us from seeing him, from knowing him, from loving him. Let us stare down the temptations that we face because he faced them as he does in the gospel. And through his power living in us, through his power growing in us, through his ability to love us more and our ability to love him more, let us break the power of sin and temptation in my own life through his grace working in me, so that then we too can now eat freely of him who is the new tree of life. God bless. Thank you.